Giovanni, ma che no, non posso mangiare. E la spinterò giochino marcia.
Well, not since the dawn of motoring has this sound been heard near the fabled rock of Gibraltar. An enlightened governor, Sir Reginald Buller Cowley, initiated the first Grand Prix du Rock in 1906, but perhaps his enthusiasm overrode his sense of the practical, since in the very first lap, D'Ambrosio on the 750 horsepower 22.1 liter three-cylinder Bolzano, hot favorite in the voiturette class, missed the corner near the Methodist chapel and motored gently into the water. He was soon joined by some of the competitors in the larger cars, Walter Freeston, later Lord Gunnett, on the Doubleday Squires, Capolavoro on the 73-liter La Merveilleuse, von Schlitzenberg to Braunhof on the little 42-liter Valhalla, Prince Pazzo dell'Asilo on the quaint SAAECVB, standing for Société Anonyme des Anciens Établissements des Constructeurs de Voitures en Bois, with its revolutionary wooden engine, and the Duke of Hesse plus Hesse driving as a passenger with his chauffeur at the wheel and a masked lady by his side in the 100-liter Pomeraner. The only other competitor left in the race, Roger Knut, was disqualified for soliciting aid in pushing his 1,000-horsepower Navajo-mobile, built incidentally in Tucson, after his engine stalled as he swerved to avoid a monkey which had strayed from the rock to watch the race. There was no outright winner on this occasion, and the harbor could not be used for shipping until the autumn of 1909. Students of history will know that British foreign policy inclined to be conciliatory during the period in which the hulks of racing cars blocked the harbor, but that with the raising of the Pomeraner, which later became the sloop HMS Incorrigible, the British got tough again. Now, over half a century later, another enlightened governor, Lord Weeps of Sebring, has dared to reconstitute this grand épreuve, and a romantic setting it is indeed for a race. The rock itself, gaunt sentinel guarding the secrets of bygone ages, stands a silent and reluctant witness to the animated scene below. Where Moor and Christian once crossed swords, now a more civilized battle is waged, and the warm southern air is filled with the fragrance of dates, wafted across from the Afric shore, mingling subtly with the no less fragrant odors of rosemary, wild thyme, lavender, and gasoline. The course is a tortuous one, beginning with an initial straight of 8 yards near the starting grid, leading to the gasworks chicane, into the stockpile tunnel, out into the 1.5-1 gradient up to Methodist Chapel corner, down the cliff face onto the beach known as the Devil's Sand Pit, from there briefly into the water, a swift straight to the Spanish frontier, a sharp left turn at Customs Shed Carousel, into the S's, which are really more like R's in shape, onto the mud and pave of the marshalling yards, and into that fast 8 yards near the starting grid again. There are, of course, 94 laps. Now, here by my side is Roland Thaxter of the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. I hope I've got that right, Roland.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely right.
He is the ace commentator in Britain, and he will describe the scene as he sees it.
Well, of course, Jib, as we know it, is well known to us. And very colourful sight it is today, even for one who during the war, as I did, knew it perfectly well. The colours are brighter than usual. There are the reds of the French, as it were, the reds of the... Well, I've got my notes here. The reds are Italian. Yes, that's the reds of the Italian cars contrasting vividly, I think. Is the right word, with the blues of the French cars and the white and green of the other nations. Also, there is, of course, the 17th Battalion of the Royal Rutlandshire Fusiliers, who are stationed here, and a very fine regiment they are, who are at the moment beginning their march past to herald the arrival of the Duke of Edinburgh, who has is going to open the course on his detuned Morris, which, and a very attractive little car it is, too. It may take some time, owing to the fact that the regimental mascot which is taking part in the parade is a tortoise, and of course, as a consequence, the parade has to move at the pace of the regimental pet. Now, that is statutory, and there's nothing we can do about it. I just hope that the tortoise will realize that we're all waiting.
Well, thank you very much, Roland. We'll hear from you later, and I don't think I could have put it as concisely as you did, but of course, you have... Yeah, I've never been here before, but...
Oh, I know it frightfully well, and one misses the rock when one isn't on it. In London, I miss the rock a great deal. Yes, well, if anything I can do later on to explain to you the colours of the cars or any technical knowledge which you may not have, I will be more than... Mind my tea, it's right on the edge of the table now.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
Well, I will do my very best to help.